Broadcasting around the world on International Shortwave and on the Radio Disclosure Radio Network. I'm your host, Matt Aaron. I bid you good evening, good morning, wherever you may be listening in our universe. One of the subjects that we have stayed away from is the COVID-19 stuff. All of it, in general, we've stayed away from. But as of recently, we are tracking a news story we're getting ready to produce with a young man that did not want to bring COVID-19 into his household to give it to his elderly grandfather. The school was unhelpful. Just the news story, it's coming, okay? I can promise you that. But with that also said, we're tracking this stuff with Joe Biden.
This is not about freedom or personal choice. It's about protecting yourself and those around you.
So, okay. The vaccination. Just clearly starting this off very quickly. This has turned in now to more of a constitutional right thing.
I'm announcing that the Department of Labor is developing an emergency rule to require all employers with 100 or more employees that together employ over 80 million workers to ensure their workforces are fully vaccinated or show a negative test at least once a week.
Okay. I'm not so sure that that is the right of the federal government to mandate.
If these governors won't help us beat the pandemic, I'll use my power as president to get them out of the way.
And there you go. He's going to use his power as president to stop local state government from making these decisions. This is the United States of America. We have freedom of choice. If I decide to go to McDonald's every night and eat Big Macs and get fat and die, should the U.S. government close McDonald's? I'm serious.
We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us. So please do the right thing.
So I see both sides of this story. I see the people that do not want to be vaccinated, and I see the people that do want the vaccination and feel that the vaccination brings them comfort, security, and they believe the experts that they believe, and then the other side believes the experts that they believe. And that's one of the things we're going to cover tonight. But before we go any further, we're going to talk with Tennessee lawmaker Tim Rudd. And I called him because he's in my district. I love the state of Tennessee, and this is where to start, I believe, is at the local level, because the local level gets to make the local laws, not the federal government. Welcome to the show, Tim. Why don't you tell the people a little bit about yourself?
Thank you. Glad to be here. My name is Tim Rudd, 34th District of Tennessee State House. I've been involved in politics for 34 years. Before I ran for office for the first time, I was a grassroots leader and then elected to the State Executive Committee of the Republican Party for 18 years. And I think it's fair to say that for my entire three decades in politics, I have been a staunch conservative.
So from your perspective and from your seats, from where you're at, I'm not getting into in this segment of the show, we will get into the whole thing of why people don't want to be vaccinated and why people do want to be vaccinated, and try to be as neutral on that as possible to kind of explore that mindset for a moment. But that's not the object of this conversation at this given time. This is more based upon, again,
this is not about freedom or personal choice. It's about protecting yourself and those around you.
So that's from the president's mouth. He's not making it any more about personal choice, about personal freedoms at this point. But I tend to disagree with that in the sense that this is about personal choice and personal freedoms. What is your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm going to quote some of what's in my Facebook page, which I was actually writing when the president was speaking about this. And I was in my office on Capitol Hill. And it just made you boil, your blood boil, and just get more and more angry and upset at what he's trying to do. If President Joe Biden's executive order is implemented, What he basically will be doing is turning the United States of America into pre-World War II Nazi Germany. He's taking away states' rights, local rights, doing away with state governments for the most part, making us totally without any power to protect our citizens, which isn't going to stand. I don't think that this executive order has a chance of passing, but we live in a world of corrupt judiciary who have become very partisan, and they may try to ram this through. And even if it is a week or a month of violating the constitutional rights of Tennesseans, I'm going to do everything I can to stand in the way. If you want, I can briefly go over the executive order and who it affects, but it's egregious and it's shocking at its foundation.
Yes, I would definitely love that, but I'm going to quote something here real quick.
Okay.
The only real prison is fear, and the only real freedom is freedom from fear. And I think people are willing to give up their constitutional rights based upon fear at this point. I want to hear your points.
Well, I think that probably the worst thing of the last 18 months has been the fact that so many people have been made afraid. Government has succeeded in making so many people afraid. They have people out there that believe this is a plague, like the Black Plague. This doesn't even rise to the definition of a severe pandemic like we had in the early 1900s and the 40s and 50s, where millions of Americans died. And during those, we never shut the economy down. We never shut schools down. The early 1900s, some people wore masks. Was never mandated, though. What the government did do was build hospitals and rest homes and retreats, and it gave assistance to the medical industry to care for people that got sick. And that was the extent of what we did. And, of course, we built up natural herd immunities and got through it. In a few years, we got past it, and we didn't have an issue again. As long as people keep putting off getting it naturally and taking and building up antibodies, we're going to continue to have this issue.
So what does this affect, and who does this affect, this executive order?
Well, this is from Biden's own words, this policy would impact over 80 million workers in the private sector businesses, 50 million healthcare providers, and cover a majority of healthcare workers across the country. Additionally, it would also require vaccinations for all federal workers, contractors, and people who do business with the government. It calls for the CDC and OSHA to implement this and basically blackmail and force businesses with 100 employees or more to force their employees to do this, or they lose their employment, or be a very cumbersome, get tested every week. Just an egregious violation of the constitutional rights, both of the United States Constitution and the state of Tennessee. And give you an example, Tennessee has one of the most stable tax bases and stable economies in the entire world, not just the United States. And we are heavily dependent on the entertainment industry, since we're Music City USA, and then the blues in Memphis, and we have Pigeon Forge. We're a bunch of music state and an entertainment state. If we required Joe Biden's executive order would also require that large venues that hold public events, that they would have to be proof of vaccination to be admitted. And this would destroy the entertainment industry. You can't just go and shut 20, 30, 40% of the American people out that go to these venues without a massive economic problem. And some people, I'll tell you, one of the most egregious things he did say in that speech yesterday, which was not in my Facebook post, he said that if we force people to have the vaccine and they have an adverse health reaction to it, we'll pay for your medical treatment. I mean, that is just awful, to force people who have health conditions that vaccines are not safe, to coerce them into taking it and then volunteer to help them with their health treatment. Well, how in the world do you help somebody with health care if they're dead? This is going way, way too far, and it is probably one of the worst, if not the most, violation of a president upon the people of this country since World War II.
Forcing somebody to do something. Roe versus Wade, the trials in Germany over medical experiments. When you start zooming out, us as a culture, has made the decision as the United States on the abortion case that a woman has a right to her own body and make those decisions, and so should a man at that point. So that's that. Then when you look at, and you brought this up earlier in Nazi Germany, we're still having this discussion about whether if this is experimental, non-experimental, FDA approved, you know, the trials in here, but that's not the discussion here. We're talking about a drug that is being asked and forced upon the American public to be used, being forced upon the American public, whether if it's experimental or not, it's still a drug. I don't know, Tim.
Let me read you, but prior to this happening, for the last 2 weeks, I've been preparing a report for our Republican caucus for talking points about this, about vaccines and about forcing people to take them and the inherent risk and et cetera. And I can read you a couple of paragraphs from that report that are very pungent and are very much on tune with this. I had no idea Biden was going to do this, but any policy that would terminate a Tennessean's employment if they refuse a medical procedure is a violation of the standard of care. All medical procedures have an inherent short-term and long-term risk. Informed consent is required with any medical procedure and cannot be obtained without the ability of a person to decline the medical intervention. Such actions as these violate the Nuremberg Code, the Helsinki Code of Ethics, and violates the basic guidelines of the Belmont Report on Human Research. Furthermore, it violates the basic tenets of medical ethics to do no one harm. The U.S. Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, confirmed an increased number of deaths through adverse event reporting on the VARS site, V-A-E-R-S. This is the CDC's own report. As of August 23, 2021, there have been 6,018 deaths reported to people who took the vaccine as an adverse reaction. Additionally, 6,868 people reported being permanently disabled. An additional 266 birth defects have been reported because of COVID-19 vaccines. And this is all on the CDC site. And this is just, it's almost like when the government has a report that they don't like, they just don't pay any attention to it and proceed on with their political agenda anyway. And I think that's why so many people do not trust government anymore. The Democrats and the Biden and Obama administrations both use the Internal Revenue Service and use the Federal Election Commission and used other departments. Now they're using DC under political pressure, the FDA under political pressure. These agencies should be respected and should be admired, as well as our Justice Department, FBI, and should not be interfered with. When they're used and made to be political, no one can trust them anymore. And that's what's happening here. And it's a sad, sad day for America.
I agree fully 100% with you. Again, we have gone from this being a situation where my opinion's right, your opinion's right, so on and so forth. That's what makes America America. That's why we're supposed to be the land of the free. That's why we're supposed to be so great.
Agreed.
That's what I was taught in school. I don't know.
I'll tell you, I've never heard this before. When I told you I was typing a response as President Biden was speaking, and he got to the point in his speech, which you played part of, where he said that any state governor or state elected or local official that would interfere or block his policies.
I've got that clip right here. I'll play it.
These governors won't help us beat the pandemic. I'll use my power as president to get them out of the way.
There you go.
Get us out of the way. And, I was elected and took an oath of office, and I took an oath on the U.S. Constitution and the state constitution. I have a constitutional and legal obligation to protect the people of Tennessee to the best of my ability. And we at the local level are going to do everything we can, at least we Republicans in the House and hopefully a majority in the state Senate, will do everything we can to stop this. There are a variety of reasons why we need a special session. And many people keep saying we need a special session. There are only two legal ways for the state General Assembly to have a special session, because we're a part-time General Assembly, and when we adjourned earlier this year, we don't go back into session till January, and we can't just suddenly show up at the Capitol and pass laws. The only two ways to do that is the governor has to call a special session, and he has refused to do that. And then the other is the state Senate and the state House, by a two-thirds majority of its members, have to sign a letter stating they want a special session. The House, all 73 Republicans, including moderates and conservatives, all the Republicans in the House signed a letter asking for a special session after the Speaker of the House asked for that. However, the majority, not all, but the majority of the state Senate leadership has refused a special session. I think out of the 26 or 27 out of 33 in the state Senate, the 26 Republicans, I believe only about 10 or 11 are in agreement for a special session. So that if we don't get the Senate to sign on or the governor to change his mind, which he wasn't going to call one on vaccines at this point, he may over this. He may. We also have a third option.
Hold on, Tim. Yes. We're going to go to break. We're going to be right back. We're going to hit up Tim's third option right after this. This is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure. We're talking with my Tennessee state local representative here. He makes the laws here in the state of Tennessee. And for those of you that are our international listeners and international bunch, just stick with us. Tennessee's a great state. I love living here. And again, the concern is, and we're coming up to Tim's third option here of how the state of Tennessee is going to handle this. Here's the bottom line. Are you ready? This is from President Joe Biden.
These governors won't help us beat the pandemic. I'll use my power as president to get them out of the way.
See? There we go. He's going to use his power to get them out of the way. That's forgetting about local governments, local states' rights. I'm the president, and you're going to do what I say because I'm the president. That sounds more like a dictatorship to me. Anyways, welcome back to the show, Tim. Your third option. What's your third option?
Our third option is if we do not go back into session until January, which January 11th is our date to go back into session right now by law. Our third option is the Attorney General. We have both Governor Lee today and I, through leadership, have asked that the Attorney General fight this and join other states in filing a lawsuit to have this executive order suspended and take it to court. And he has been very good in the past when I've asked him to join the Texas lawsuit, the Oklahoma lawsuit on abortion and other things. He has been very good to join those. And he has been successful in those two. And I think Slater will join. So that is an interim on this one subject here on the executive order. Of course, we have other things we need to address in a special session about mask mandates, parental choice on these in schools, and what businesses can or can't do. Should people be prevented from coercing people into something? Here's how I tell people this is the big, big difference. I am a big supporter of property rights, and I respect that. I don't agree with, but I respect if a property owner, an individual business, says you can't come on my property unless you're wearing a mask. If I don't agree with that, I can go shop somewhere else, and I have done that. But if they ask me to do it, I usually do it because it's their property out of respect. We live in a free society, and they have as many rights as I do. But when you ask somebody or coerce somebody, force somebody to put a liquid substance in your body, not wear a mask, but a liquid substance in your body that, by the way, is still experimental, regardless of the FDA, because it did not go through 3 to 5 years of testing. It went through just about a year and a half or a year, and that is not enough time, and it's had a lot of people die from it. From the CDC's own website has stated that. That's where we have to draw a line in the sand. And he also said in his speech that this is a unvaccinated pandemic. It is not. Probably the people that are least threat to anybody is the unvaccinated. If they got COVID, they're going to be sicker in the hospital or at home. If they're walking around perfectly healthy, they're no threat to anyone. But however, if you've taken the vaccine, you can get COVID-19. People are under the wrong assumption that once you've taken it, you can't get it. No, what it does is it makes your side effects far less. Of course, certain people, and I'm one of them who have had COVID-19, I didn't know I even had it at the time. My side effects were so mild. But COVID, people who've taken the vaccine can still get the virus. They don't know that they have it. They're not required to wear masks in stores like the unvaccinated are. So they're out there actually being the biggest spreaders of the disease. So it is unvaccinated people are no threat to anyone but themselves if they get it. But the vaccinated people are a huge threat to the unvaccinated because they can have the disease, the virus, and not know about it.
Have you been following West Virginia's numbers by chance?
I have not followed West Virginia's. I've been following some of Europe's and especially Israel because they're the most vaccinated state in the world.
So this is from the governor of West Virginia, I believe, 2 days ago.
And we'll give you a few stats now about what's going on in West Virginia. But West Virginia is seeing a 26% increase in positive cases of people that are fully vaccinated over the last 8 weeks. We'll read that one more time. West Virginia is seeing a 26% increase in positive cases in people that are fully vaccinated, and a 21% increase in breakthrough cases requiring hospitalization for people that are fully vaccinated. We have also seen a 25% increase in deaths of people that are fully vaccinated over the last 8 weeks. Now, that's not a 25% increase of the total numbers or whatever. It is a 25% increase of deaths of people that are fully vaccinated over the last 8 weeks.
So this came out 2 days ago, and this is West Virginia. West Virginia has been on the cutting edge of trying to get people vaccinated. They are like the cutting edge leading state, I would believe, from the research that I did. And they're noticing these uptick in numbers. And one of the things they're trying to do is produce the booster shots. They have a very, I think, what is it? If I remember right, 25% of West Virginia was unvaccinated. And again, they're starting to see this spread. These numbers are so confusing that, again, it's you can't really get into it. But the point is, with that confusion at this time, people should still have the right to choose whether or not if they want to enter this foreign object or foreign substance into their body. They should have that right. That's part of being an American. And of course, the way Joe Biden says and the way Joe Biden portrayed it and how I took it, by me basically stating that I do not want that in my body, I am now an enemy of the state. That's how I took it.
Oh, that is exactly what he, that is what I got from it. And I think that's what he meant. I mean, like I said, there's been no president in history except for maybe Franklin Roosevelt with what he did with the Japanese. There's been no president in history, in modern history in this century, that has violated the citizens' rights like this president is attempting to do. And another thing, while you were talking about it, I was hearing a couple of reports today. My own doctor confirmed this. There is no way from a general test that we take to see if we have COVID. They have no way of determining whether it's Delta virus or the original virus, Alpha virus. There's no way to tell the difference. They're just assuming that any virus that's hitting now is Delta. It takes a much more in-depth test to see if it's Delta.
That is correct.
Also, it's been shown that the vaccines that were for the original virus are very ineffective for the Delta virus. So we're correct. Forcing people to take vaccines that aren't even proven to be effective on a virus. And it's almost would have to do the warp speed creating a new vaccine for this new virus. So it just blows your mind that a president of the United States, that any government would force its people to take a vaccine that's probably not even effective on the new virus. Because this isn't just, to me, it's not just a variant. It's a new virus.
That is correct.
It's so radically different that it needs to be treated like a new virus. It's like he said, so many people and children are getting it. There's not too many dying from it, but children are getting it where they would before, and we're assuming it's the new variant or the new virus. So there's really nothing to combat it except herd immunity in our own bodies right now, because there's no proof that this current vaccine is even effective with Delta.
So, Tim, I'm going to ask this question. So this is... All right. I'm not a politician, but the big, huge stance, and one of the things is the schools. He spent a lot of time talking about schools, and that's where he said that if we don't do this and the governors don't get out of the way, then we're just going to plow through them, and, you know, I'm going to use my power as president. Now, kids under 12 cannot get vaccinated. He said in his stats that 90% of all teachers in the United States at this point are vaccinated, and all school workers, 90%. And we need to get that other 10% is what he's saying. So,
and that's a high number. That's not a true number.
So as I sit here and I'm thinking about this, 12 and under are not allowed to be vaccinated. 12 and above can be if they qualify.
Currently.
These kids that get COVID and bring it home into their family and then so on, it's transmitted. Like, what does one teacher out of 30 students going to do mathematically? If you actually start running these numbers, this whole thing about schools and protecting schools is so odd to me, because I really don't see it actually as protecting schools. It's more of a political agenda to try to get you to take the vaccination because I'm trying to peer and put fear into you.
Well, it is, and the president said in his speech yesterday that he is providing resources in this executive order for the Federal Drug Administration to conduct a review of children under 12 the vaccine. So it's obviously he's headed towards making children under 12 take the vaccine as well.
And
they're trying to project to prove that they can be, and that's in the executive order.
And what a lot of people don't realize, here in the United States, if you have a child in school and you do not want that child to take the vaccinations, you can opt out of those for religious reasons still, and on personal preference reasons, if you choose to. You can. It happens all the time. And I do not understand, again, how the federal government can all of a sudden turn this switch and say, everyone has to be vaccinated, and if you're not... You can't go to work, you can't get on a bus, can't go to a concert, can't go eat food. I don't see how that's possible. Does not feel American to me.
Well, I think part of it is, when people go through this, and I'm talking about politics, why the Democrats are doing this. I will say one thing, that it proved very successful for them in last year's elections. It wrecked the economy, and it helped. It was one of the reasons why Donald Trump's election was COVID-19. And a lot of people were at home. A lot of people were sick, especially a lot of the conservative base vote of seniors and others didn't turn out as heavy as normally. But they also, on the left, the African-American community is absolutely terrified of vaccines and the virus. And they're one of the largest groups of people that refuse to take the vaccine. And they have their own fears, but government has succeeded, whether it's senior citizens or people with pre-existing conditions, or whether it be minorities, they have succeeded in scaring almost 30% or 40% of the public. And we also are going through, you know, government for the first time paid people to stay home and stay out of work. And they kept extending that. And now a lot of those people, we got huge job shortages in the United States.
Oh, it's crazy. If you want a job right now, you can go get a job.
Oh, yeah. Businesses are shutting down, and older couples are retiring their businesses because they can't find workers. And that's because we paid people to stay home, and the other people are frightened. They're afraid to go out. We have succeeded such a large percentage of the succeeded, and I'm sure that way in other parts of the world. Government has succeeded in scaring a significant number of the population that they're afraid to even go out in public anymore.
Well, Tim, and all of this is based upon a virus that has a 99.6 to 99.7 survival rate.
Well, that's something else. You know, when this started, the regular flu was, what, just under a half of 1% per 1,000 of death rate. And then this was slightly higher than that. But now it's actually gone down below the regular flu in death rate. I think the CDC had a report.
Well, hold on, Tim. We're going to get to this report when we come back from the break. I don't know what to tell you, folks. This is the United States of America, and I am one of... I want to fight for my rights. You ain't coming to take my rights. We'll be back. This is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure. I'm Matt Aaron. Tim Rudd, my local Tennessee state representative, joins us. District, which district are you in again? I apologize.
I'm in 34th District. That's in the suburb around Nashville.
So we've been discussing this whole COVID thing in the United States, and for our international listeners, this is... You know, I feel bad for our listeners in Australia, and I was reading some stuff from you guys, and I don't know what to say. I mean, you've got a report, Tim, that before the break you were gonna hit up, and we've got one segment that I want to do after this, which is nothing but based upon stuff on the tests and yeah, there's a couple other things I want to hit up on this show before the end of it. But what's this report you got?
Well, real quickly, and it's on the CDC website. The CDC paid for a report on the effectiveness of masks. And when the report came back, it was in contradiction to the Biden administration's policies on masks, which, of course, with Dr. Fauci, that's changed about five times since last January. It says that less than 10% of masks are effective at preventing the spread of the virus. Only certain quality masks are somewhat effective. Yet also it says that masks were created to protect the patient from a person who has a sickness, because you can't block any mask cannot block the virus, but it can block like tear or water cough from spraying it directly on the patient. But it will not stop the actual virus. So, in other words, if you're a doctor and nurse in a hospital and you're wearing a mask and you cough or sneeze, it's going to keep the water droplets, most of them, inside the mask, so it helps protect it. But it doesn't protect the person from the actual virus. It's too small. There's no way to keep it out. Of course, any mask can help, but will it prevent it? No, it's not foolproof.
But again, as a politician, as a lawmaker in the state of Tennessee where you're at, if a local business wants to have a policy that says you must wear a mask, what do you think?
Well, it's same. You know, if they said you have to wear shoes or you have to wear a T-shirt or no red hats in my business or my property, that's their property. We are a nation of constitutional rights, and property owners have rights, too. It's kind of like, and I briefly told you the other night, real quickly, when 6 years ago when we were voting on the right to carry firearms without, to carry open carry permits, as a person who is conservative, I saw both sides, the property owner rights who didn't want a gun on their property and the person who wanted to carry a gun to protect themselves. We had to reach a compromise, and the compromise that we reached on both was, If you take your weapon onto a private property where they don't want a gun, you can keep it out of sight or in your trunk so you can protect yourself when you go to and from the property, while at the same time giving a lot of protection for the property owner who didn't want a firearm on their property. So when you look at things like this, you have to respect the Constitution. It is not a living, breathing instrument. It is written as it's written and should be interpreted as a sponsor meant it to be. And this entire executive order, from start to finish, is not only in violation of the Constitution and Bill of Rights, it also violates the federal law of what a presidential executive order can do. And an executive order can never, ever override or contradict a law passed by Congress. And this executive order does those things.
Well, Tim, thank you for joining us. We're going to continue on with this rabbit hole a little bit. We're going to discuss about, talk to a wonderful doctor that's going to go over how accurate the tests are and why the tests are great, not great. We're going to go down that rabbit hole. Then we're going to also discuss the CDC, the FDA, the press conference that they had. We're going to go over all this in full detail. And you're going to see why some people don't want to be vaccinated. We'll be back. This is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure. What a rabbit hole. We're going to go ahead and we're going to set aside the constitutional rights and the constitutional discussion. And it's hard to have that discussion without this part of it. All right. First of all, let's look at it from the perspective of the person that wants to get vaccinated, and they've looked at all of the information that has been available to them through mainstream news. They have not done any look at the VAR CDC website database. They've not done any of that. And they have taken all of the information that has been given to them at face value. Originally, the idea of the vaccination was sold to the American people as a way to get back to normal. If we all take this vaccination, we're all going to get back to normal. It's not going to be a situation where we no longer wear masks, we no longer have to social distance, we no longer have to worry about the transmission of this virus to other people. We're no longer going to have people dying of this virus. That was what was sold, and people bought that, and they believe it. I have about 200 emails that have come in on the Radio Disclosure website where people basically say at this point that they took the vaccination and now looking back with all the information that they've been given, they wish they had not taken the vaccination. So there's those people as well that we're not even discussing right now. So the people who are in the camp of getting the vaccination, we can completely understand that, because for a working vaccine, then yes, I would love that. But what are the risks? What are the numbers in the United States? Let's not even talk about the European numbers. Let's talk about the official CDC numbers. Deaths associated with this vaccine is 6,018. 6,868 people have become long-term disabled from the vaccination, according to the CDC website. 266 birth defects, again, as of August 23rd, 2021. I'm going to play you this sound clip. This was from the FDA's press conference when they released this and said, this is now widely accepted. Everyone should be able to get the vaccination because now it's FDA approved. This was 8/23 of 2021.
I'd like to take this opportunity to comment on one of the biggest challenges that we still face in getting the public vaccinated, and that's the overwhelming amount of information that's been circulating about COVID-19 vaccines. We've heard false claims that COVID-19 vaccines cause infertility, contain microchips, and cause COVID-19. And worse, we've heard false claims that thousands of people have died from the vaccine. Let me be clear. These claims are simply not true. Getting a COVID-19 vaccine can save your life.
So that's Peter Marks from the FDA. So either Peter Marks has not done his research and has helped approve this as the director over this, or he is completely lying.
And worse, we've heard false claims that thousands of people have died from the vaccine.
Yes, thousands of people have died from the vaccine. 6,018 have died. Let me say that again. 6,018 have died since August 23 of 2021.
And worse, we've heard false claims that thousands of people have died from the vaccine.
6,868 people have become disabled, unable to work. They have zero recourse. 266 birth defects. Okay. I could see why some people would want to not take this vaccination. Well, it's only X and you know, so many blah, blah, blah. Okay, I understand that. But it's still the person's individual rights to make the decision whether or not if they feel that this vaccination could kill them. Several people have emailed me this list, and I've seen this list also produced somewhere in multiple locations. So, if you get vaccinated, can you stop wearing a mask? CDC answer is no. If I get vaccinated and become vaccinated, do I become resistant to the COVID virus? CDC answer is maybe. If I get the vaccination, will I stop contracting this virus to other people? CDC answer is no. If I get vaccinated, can I stop social distancing? CDC answer, no. So again, for the person that is not wanting to be vaccinated, the only advantage that the CDC can give them is the fact that it may keep you out of the hospital. You may have a much better situation when you get COVID.
We continue to work tirelessly to protect these studies, including conducting a pregnancy registry to study and evaluate pregnancy and infant outcomes after vaccination during pregnancy.
So apparently he's aware of the 266 birth defects because there is a concern to create a registry at this point. The most common side effects.
The most common reported side effects by clinical trial participants who received Comirnaty were pain, redness and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle or joint pain, chills, and fever. Additionally, the FDA conducted a rigorous evaluation of the data pertaining to myocarditis and pericarditis events following administration of the vaccine authorized for emergency use, and has determined that the data demonstrate increased risk, particularly within 7 days following the second dose. The observed risk is higher among males under 40 years of age compared to females and older males.
Interesting. That sounds like a lot of side effects for someone who may not want this vaccination, or when they get vaccinations, or if they have other underlying medical conditions, not sure how this vaccine is going to. Yeah. What about, did they say about the spreading?
We hope those who have waited until now to make the choice to protect themselves and all thereby also help protect their communities by reducing the spread of COVID-19 will go and get vaccinated. I urge you and your loved ones to get vaccinated and help put an end to this pandemic.
Once again, CDC answer to, does this stop the spreading of it? The answer to that is no. In fact, you can actually become a spreader and have zero symptoms, so you actually wind up spreading more. Again, folks, this is the reason why people do not want to be vaccinated with this drug. The trust level of the United States people with this organization, because they make comments like this.
And worse, we've heard false claims that thousands of people have died from the vaccine.
On the VAERS CDC website, it clearly states 6,000 deaths.
And worse, we've heard false claims that thousands of people have died from the vaccine.
Yes. According to the CDC's website, that is true. Unless if that is a misprint, If that's the case, then the CDC needs to write a retraction statement based upon their own database. Testing. The testing of everyone. All the craziness with the testing. When Joe Biden's talking about the fact that we need to start testing everybody in making sure that they don't have the virus. What does that really mean to you as an American? What does that mean as far as the actual, how accurate these tests are? We're going to talk with an expert when we come back. We're going to find out how accurate each test is. Again, I can see both sides of the coin. We haven't even talked about Israel's numbers. We haven't talked about the numbers currently coming out of West Virginia. Breakthrough cases up 28-26%. We did earlier in the show. Yeah. The rabbit hole keeps getting deeper, folks, and you can understand why when you go through this information. Why the level of trust of the United States people, we the people, have no trust in the FDA and have no trust maybe even in the CDC at this point. 1-833-880-9899 is the number. We'll be back here in just a moment. This is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure. I tell you guys, wow. We got our medical expert on the line. She's going to join us just here in a second, but here's another clip for you.
I've signed another executive order that will require federal contractors to do the same. If you want to work with the federal government and do business with us, get vaccinated.
Yeah, that's right. You don't have a choice if you want to work anymore. We're going to impose this on you. Mandatory testing. How accurate's the testing? That's the question we're going to ask right now. Dr. Melba Ketchum joins us. And your history of DNA testing and all of this is what I would consider to be world-renowned. You have traveled the globe speaking at conferences. You have been around multiple locations. You did DNA testing for 9/11 victims. You've done DNA testing for court cases. And some of those people are still in prison, from my understanding. This, you're no joke. You're the real deal. So, it looks like to me there's three types of tests that are available. And I'm going to let you tell us what your thoughts are and opinions are. So, you would be considered an expert in this field. How accurate are these tests that people are being given now? And in addition to how accurate are these tests, how do you think distribution is going to be if all these employers are going to be mandated to test their employees weekly if they don't get vaccinated?
Well, the way I look at it, first of all, there's basically, like you said, there's three types of tests. There's the at-home COVID test and the at-home antibody test. Of course, the antibody test can also be done in a lab. And then there's the most famous of the tests, the RT-PCR test, which is where they take the nasal swab and send it off to the lab. I have the most experience with the RT-PCR. Early on, they were doing upwards of 40 cycles of PCR. Now, let me explain what that is. Basically, it's the polymerase chain reaction. And what it does in a nutshell is it, you know, you have very, DNA is such a tiny type. You've got like, you know, just a few copies of it to deal with in a sample. And so in order to visualize it as a test, you have to make more copies of it. And you have to get it to label with a fluorescent dye so you can, you know, literally see the copies and see a test result. So in doing this, the type of RT-PCR used is something called reverse transcriptase, which means that the RNA from the virus, the COVID virus, has to be transformed chemically into DNA. And once that's done, then the amplification starts. And what happens is every time there's, quote, a cycle of polymerase chain reaction, the amount of copy of the DNA doubles. So it's an exponentially amplified product in the end, so it can be seen. And what the PCR does basically is it splits, you know, the DNA is like a double helix. It's a, if you can imagine a ladder that's twisted, that's what it kind of looks like. And with PCR, the first step is you like trim the middle of the ladder so you have two half ladders. And then in your reaction mixture, you have loose nucleic acids because that's what DNA is made of. It's got four nucleic acids, adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine, and they're loose in the mixture. And what they do is once it splits, then the next step is those loose nucleic acids come and fill in, making two ladders instead of one. So it doubles every time there's a cycle. And basically that's how it works. It just like a zipper will fill in and make two zippers or two ladders. And then the next cycle it'll make, you know, twice that and so on and so forth. And when they originally started doing the RT-PCR test for COVID, there were huge numbers of false positives. I could not find an exact number, but there were people sending in blank swabs that were getting positive reactions. And what was happening was they were using way too many cycles. They were making too much product. And in doing so, when the reaction keeps going past the usable DNA, basically, it starts looking for anything else to fill in. And if you have a similar sequence, say, from another virus or any type of little bit of DNA, because these are very short, short little segments that they're amplifying. You could have another coronavirus that has a similar sequence, or you could have any number of things that just happen to have that sequence. It'll start amplifying outside of what its target is. And when that happens, it shows a false positive. And so a few months ago, they finally admitted this was happening, and they lowered the cycle number to so that only basically, hopefully, the viral DNA, if it's there, the COVID DNA is the only thing that 'll be amplified. Now, since the test approaches 100% sensitivity, it's in that way it's really good. The false positives at this point, according to the literature, range from 4% to 16.7%. So you still have a fair number of false positives, but not as many as before. This test, as a result, is, I mean, it's good, but it's concerning that it still has, you know, a fair number of false positives. now going on to the home test, which is a lateral flow immunodeficiency test. I mean, immunoassay test, excuse me. Basically, it's like a home pregnancy test or a lot of other self-tests. And it's an antibody-based test where basically whatever you're testing for, there's an antibody against. And this is the same basic, to make it simple, technology amidst all of these home tests, whether it's the antigen test or the actual viral test. You know, it really doesn't matter. It's basically the same technology. And when you take your sample and put it onto your little test kit strip thing, you're going to have antibodies against whatever you're testing for that are, you know, commercially put into the kit. So if, say, you have COVID, there's going to be antibodies specific to COVID into this little test. And if the viral protein is there, then it's going to show up as a positive line on your test. It has to do strictly with immunology. It's not PCR-based, of course, at all, because that requires specialized equipment. The antibody test is basically the same technology also. Some are better than others. Some test for two types of immunoglobulins to show that you how recent your infection was. But the only problem with those types of tests is they're less sensitive than the PCR test. They're about run about 67% on sensitivity, meaning that there's going to be more false negatives there. Accuracy-wise, they're very close to the same, with about 4%, you know, showing as positive, which is about what's showing on the RT-PCR test at this point. So accuracy-wise, you know, they're about the same, but they're not as sensitive, which means that if the swab or the blood droplet, whatever you're using, isn't correctly done or doesn't have a viral load, if you're testing for the virus, in other words, a lot of viral particles in it, it's not going to be as sensitive. So you know, you may have it and it not show up. So that's the problem with those tests. I think as far as a screening tool, there's no problem with the home tests. You know, if you're negative but you think you have it, then take it again. You know, wait a day and take it again, because if you're getting sick, you know, your viral load is going to increase. You're going to be more viremic or have more virus in your either your sinus or your blood, depending on whatever sample you're using. I know that there's a test out of India that uses blood. I think most of the ones here use a nasal swab. But regardless, the testing is there, and I think it's a viable alternative to vaccination in some ways, because, you know, it's a fair amount. It's fairly accurate at this point. I can't say that it was in the past as far as the RT-PCR, but once I believe it was the CDC announced that to reduce the cycles, the accuracy improved dramatically.
So what do you think about the ability for production, the ability to create these kits to where these companies and such can actually do these tests as being requested? What do you think about that actually being physically possible at this point?
Oh, I think it can be. You can gear up for that. It's not that difficult a process, and they've already got them commercially available, and there are a lot of companies out there doing this. So it's not just one or two. So if they tap into all available companies making these little rapid tests, I think it's highly doable.
So that's good news for the people that definitely do not want to be vaccinated, that do not want... That's an okay alternative at this point, based upon the current plan that was discussed. Unless if you're a federal worker, then it's mandatory. Unless if you're in that section to where it becomes mandatory, which I don't, again. So what is your, just as a medical professional at this point, what is your thoughts on if somebody has already had it, they've tested positive, and then they're considering and thinking about the vaccine, versus natural immunity long-term versus the vaccine at this point?
In normal cases, once you've faced it, this is somewhat similar to the flu. It's the same class of viruses. And normally, once you're immune to a type of flu, you don't get it again. It hasn't been around long enough to know for sure how long your immunity will last. But unless you're dealing with a new variant that's quite different from the original, you should have immunity once you've been exposed and you've either contracted it or you've had an asymptomatic case, because you're gonna build these antibodies, and your body remembers these antibodies sometimes for very long periods of time. So it just depends on how long, and you know, science will tell in the future how long the immunity will last. But it's a new enough virus right now that the people that have had it, you know, theoretically should still have an immunity for more than a year or so. Of course, they're coming out with these mutated variants. And I guess that would be like, you know, your type A flu, your type B flu. They're different. They're a little different. So, you know, that could be an issue. It could be. But once again, they're coming out with more and more in the literature about treatments that are highly effective for these different viruses. So I think that and the mortality is really quite low. So I think that it's probably I think people should do their research. I think they should go online. They should read the research. They should listen to medical professionals. There's a lot of them out there that are speaking out on this. Just don't be uninformed. Be sure that you go and, you know, don't take my word for it. Don't take anybody's word for it. Go do your own research, and then you will know what you need to do.
So basically, what you just said indirectly is be an American, make your own choice, and stand on that choice. And if you feel that you should or should not, that should be up to you.
Absolutely. That's a personal choice. I mean, if you want to go talk about something controversial, you can use abortion as an example. I mean, in this country at this point, a woman has a right to choose whether to have an abortion or not, that she has control of her own body. And now, I'm not saying I'm for or against. I'm just saying that there is a huge lobby for abortion, saying that people, that women should have the right to, you know, control their own body, to do what they want to do with their own body. To me, this is very similar in that you should be able to have the choice, for better or for worse, on whether or not you want to take a vaccine. Forcing something on you that's un-American. You should be able to have choice over your body.
Well, that's been 90% of our discussion of this whole entire show. And the more that we go down this rabbit hole, the more that we discuss it, the more we talk to different people, look at the database that the CDC has and compare what was said at the FDA during their press conference to, you go through all these different things and you can completely understand why somebody does not trust the vaccine. And you can also understand why somebody would want the vaccine, because it gives them that sense of security. It gives them that feeling that I'm protected. Fear. Fear is being used. And as we continue using fear, it's a dangerous thing. The only real prison is fear. And the only real freedom is freedom from fear. Educate yourself. Figure out where you stand. That's where we are. We're going to continue this news coverage, and I teased it before, and this is going to be in an upcoming show, about the young man that decided not to continue going to school and fought with the school board along with his parents trying to figure out how not to go to school so that way his elderly grandfather would not contract COVID. They actually got COVID and did not want to continue to be around COVID and bring it back into their household. He is not a candidate for the COVID vaccine, according to some medical professionals, and some say that he should. Yeah, it's a real story. Truancy officers involved, the whole bit. It's coming. If you've got something to disclose to Radio Disclosure, 1-833-880-9899 is the number. Leave us a voicemail. We will gladly listen. If you've got something on this subject, if you want to call and leave us hate voicemail, we'll take that too. We have no problem with it. We want to say thank you to WTWW, the International Shortwave Station, for carrying us and all of our other local affiliates. This has been Radio Disclosure.